Will you pray with me? We pray that we, the hearers of God's word, will be comforted and joyful in the certain hope of resurrection in Christ and eternal life in God's kingdom. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
At the concentration camp at Dachau, Germany, was liberated on a Sunday in April of 1945. 1 week later, Greek and Serbian Orthodox prisoners celebrated Easter in the camp barracks. The priests wore makeup vestments over their blue and white striped prison uniforms. They sang the liturgy, read the scriptures, and even recited a sermon by St. John Chrysostom, all without text, all from memory. During their long years of suffering and anguish, these prisoners had never forgotten Christ's resurrection victory over death, and that it had also set them free from death. Whatever might have happened, they always believed that Easter meant something more was still coming for them. They never gave up hope. They always looked to the cross and to Easter Sunday. Today, a Russian Orthodox chapel in the Dachau Memorial houses an icon of the resurrected Christ leading the prisoners out of the prison gates. You might be wondering, why are we talking about Easter today? Well, it's simply because every Sunday is a celebration of Easter, as I told the children. A celebration of Christ's glorious victory over sin and death for us. But today, the last Sunday of the church year, is especially so because the last Sunday, pointing us to the last day, shows us where Easter is headed. What do I mean when I say where Easter is headed? Easter brought forth the first fruits. Jesus raised to life again. Christ indeed has been raised from the dead. Christ Jesus died on the cross, but his resurrection is an accomplished fact. There are many things that anchor my faith, but one fact stands out. There were over 500 people that saw Jesus after the resurrection, talked to him, heard him, traveled with him, and some even ate with him. And there is not one account in the Bible, in tradition, or in history that indicates that even one single person ever recanted the fact that Jesus Christ was risen. And if you know human nature as well as I do, and I'm sure you do, that with 500 people, if they were given a chance to recant their story to save their lives, not only one, but probably many would have done that if what they said wasn't true, and that they didn't realize that Jesus Christ had saved them from eternal death. And that is great news. We need never doubt this. But where is Easter headed? In verse 20 and 21 it says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man." Christ is the first fruits. In the Old Testament, Israel offered the first gathering of wheat as a sacrifice to God. Still, they knew that an entire harvest was yet to come. In the offertory, we proclaim, "To you our first fruits give," knowing that more fruits will be on their way. The first fruits were just the first of many fruits. And in the same way, Jesus' resurrection will inevitably lead to the resurrection of all flesh. Verses 22 and 23 say, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." Christ was raised from death as a promise that all who have fallen asleep will be raised to life again. That the last day, Judgment Day, the focus of this last Sunday of the church year, you heard it in our gospel. All people who have ever lived will be gathered before Christ the Judge, bodies raised, reunited with their souls, the resurrection of all flesh. What a day this will be for those, Paul says, who belong to Christ. Christ walked in the way of human beings. He lived life as one of us, even unto death. This was God's plan. Death came when Adam and Eve sinned. And in his wisdom, God sent his Son in human flesh. His human flesh and blood to overcome sin and sin's death by Jesus' death on that cross. In baptism, in the Lord's Supper, in God's word proclaimed to us, Jesus' cross has been given to us. We have been made to belong to Christ. Christ's resurrection is the beginning, giving certain hope of eternal life with him to all who believe in him. And still, where is this headed? Our resurrection to life will mean that death and all its allies are destroyed under Jesus. We read on from verse 25, "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet." Now when it says that, everything has been put under him. My friends, if death cannot hold us, as it couldn't hold Christ, then nothing can. On that last day, all enemies will be defeated. Christ has defeated sin and its grip over us. He has defeated the devil and all his demonic forces. They now have no power over us. Christ has destroyed every other evil force in the world that opposes him. He has not simply brought them under control, but so thoroughly vanquished them that we have nothing to fear. This, though, is why far too many will be raised on the last day, only to hear this judgment: "Depart from me to the eternal fire prepared for those enemies of mine. For you did not belong to me by faith. You present yourself here today on the basis of your deeds in life, but you have nothing to show. You stand condemned in your sin. But for us who belong to Christ, the last enemy will now be defeated, and that is death. As it says in verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is the last fruits of sin, and Christ the first fruits of life. Changes the whole end to the story. So is that where this is headed? Well, almost. Finally, even Christ will be subjected to the Father, as it says in verse 28. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. For Christ, the mission will be accomplished. Every need of God's people is a fallen world met. Every enemy of the universe conquered. Christ will lay all at the Father's feet. Then all things will once again be as they were in the beginning. God will be all in all. So will we need food or clothing or shelter? No, we will have God. Will we need love, comfort, or relationships? No, we will have God. Will we need protection, deliverance? No, we will have God with all those good things he is. My friends, I would like you to humor me here for a minute. I'm going to ask you to do something that most preachers don't like. I'd like you to close your eyes, relax, call on all your senses, and I want you to visualize and feel what it will be like when we see our Lord for the first time. I hope it was a glorious vision for each and every one of you as it was for me. Then comes the end when Christ delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule, every authority, and every power. In verse 24 it says, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. This then is the end, when Christ delivers the kingdom to God the Father. This is where Easter has been headed. My friends, our faith is in the one who rose again for us. He is the first fruits of all those who have fallen asleep, and we follow him. Christ's victory over death gives us certain hope in our own resurrection and eternal life with God. On this last Sunday of the church year, a blessed fulfillment of Easter to you, because Christ is risen. Hallelujah. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.